Welcome to The Pew, the place where everyday guys talk about everyday things in front of the one person who can do something about it, Jesus Christ. Now here's your host, just a guy in the pew, John Edwards.
Well, welcome back to The Pew, everybody. I am your host, John Edwards, and this week, across the table from me, as always, is my co-host and cohort, Victor Adams.
Welcome to the celebration of pollen land, you know?
That's right.
The shirt was white before I got in the house.
Yeah, man, living in the South this time of year, everything's blooming. It's the good part about Easter, right? You see this coming back to life, you know, with the plants and things, but you're right, it wrecks you. I cut the yard the other day, and Angela was like, make sure you wear a mask. I'm like, I don't need a mask.
That's right.
And now I can barely talk for this podcast. You hear my voice right now, it's jumping around. So, folks, we apologize for our pollen-induced voices and what they may or may not sound like in this episode. So, I know you're struggling with it too, Vic.
Yeah. We think it sounds okay, but we don't know how it's going to come across. So, again,
that's
apologies.
Right. So, if there's any loogies hocked or any kind of hacking or anything, please excuse us. And
We'll try to edit that out.
Yeah, we'll continue on with the regular programming. Right. But it's good to see you, man. Happy Easter.
Well, thank you. Yeah, happy Easter to you.
Yeah, and Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.
Yeah, we went to Easter in Nashville. So we actually went to Holy Rosary Catholic Church in Nashville.
Okay.
Because friends of ours from Chattanooga, we've been trying to get together for a long time. It was the only time that could work out. And so we, Brian and Jalen are good friends of ours. Her aunt has like a house, and it's kind of like a crash pad for the family in Nashville.
Yeah.
And so we stayed there, and then we hung out. We went to the Cheekwood Manor, which is kind of like the Dixon Art gallery.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
It's great gardens and stuff. And I think I must have wandered into like a tree that I've never like seen before because a pollen hit me so hard that it's residual from it. But anyways, it was great. Nashville's beautiful around this time of year with everything, you know, all the azaleas popping out and everything. But we had a great time, and the pastor there at the Holy Rosary Catholic Church in Nashville was really cool. It was really cool seeing that. And Ella took a picture next to the sign. And of course, all the preachers are going, why are these people posing in front of the school sign, the church sign? But that was because, you know, we have an affection for Holy Rosary because that's our home congregation.
Yeah, school. Yeah, it's been crazy, man. And I'll tell you what about the pollen. I've been taking Claritin, and nothing's helping with this. But yeah, we digress. I know everybody's like, yeah.
Yeah, I got that too. Come on.
But, man, this week I just really was excited to get back in here. You know, we had the previous week, the episodes with Hector that I put out that I recorded back when he was here for a mission. So gave you an opportunity to be out of town and me to kind of relax and focus on the Triduum and all that without having to worry about getting a show in and all those things. So, but I'm excited to be back in here. It's been a crazy week after Holy Week. Vic, you know, I got about 5 or 6 phone calls this week from men that were just really, really hurting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2 guys that were having affairs, you know, another 2 that wanted to take their life or had been talking about contemplating suicidal thoughts. And then I had another one that was dealing with drugs and alcohol and just addictions and those things all reached out this week and just said, I need help, you know, and in humility and finally getting that breaking point, right? I'm tired of living my life this way, or I'm tired of the lying, and I'm tired of this. And man, men are just so broken. And people ask me all the time, Victor, like, why do you do what you do? It's because of this. And I think the Lord, I mean, it's a heavy weight. You know, you hear all these problems and the things that people are dealing with. It can make you weary, you know, because it's a lot. But it's also a humbling call to be there for men like that, like we have been and our ministry has been. And so people often ask, like, why should I give to you? Why should I give to your ministry? And Victor, that's why. Because this is the work that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times people can say, well, you got a podcast, I don't want to give to a podcast, or, you know, or whatever it is. You're not giving to that. You're giving to the support of the work of the ministry, and the ministry is reaching down into these places these men are and trying to pull them back up out of it. Of course, Jesus does that, but being the tools that he uses to pull them back out of these gutters, to answer the call of Isaiah 61, right, to really bring people back into hope again, out of despair, and out of places that we've gotten ourselves in. And look, we're all broken. Every one of those men said to me, like, you know, do you look at me differently? I'm ashamed to tell you this. And I'm like, look, I made mistakes too. And the reason you may be led to call me is because at one point in my life, I thought there was no hope. Mm-hmm. And no one would ever see me as more than a drug addict or a porn guy or whatever else, or a terrible husband and father. And all that's changed over the years because the Lord he changed my life. And people saw that change, and it's right. possible for them too. And so when people talk about what am I giving to, it's that. Like, Victor, that's why we're building these places, so men can find somewhere to go. Because every one of these men called and said, I don't know what else to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to find help. And they called me because they know that we have this group here. And that's the same thing that we're starting everywhere else. So they can call the Tylers of the groups and the Sams of the groups and the Johns of the groups and the Bills of the groups that we're starting all around the country, right? It's the Jims, the whoever else that's leading these groups that we've started, where they can find this place in their parish where they can find help. Mm-hmm. And so folks, like, you know, I've said over the last few weeks, and we do have a lot of needs in the ministry. You know, we just hired somebody that you know, we really need support for that. We need support for the things we need to do to grow. We've got a lot of great ideas about how to continue further helping people through videos and series and all those kind of things that we want to do, and then launching these groups. We need more help to be able to do that, yes. But the real reason you're giving is because when you give, that money goes to saving someone's life. And I don't mean that figuratively. Two people this week came up to me because of mistakes they've made and said, I want to take my life. And I don't know what would have happened if they hadn't made the phone call, if they hadn't shown up at our group, or hadn't continued to talk with me and walk with us and other men in our group. That's what you're doing. The money you give goes to save lives. And to turn lives around, not only the men who are in that place, but to save their marriages, to save their relationships with their children, and to put them, help them get on the path back along with Jesus leading the whole thing and the Holy Spirit to right relationship with Him and with their family and with the world. So folks, when I ask you to give, that's what it's for. Please help us continue to help these men and to help men all over the country and the world that are in these spots. And maybe you're one of these guys that's there right now. Maybe you have been, and you've been helped by the stuff we're doing. Look, all I'm asking is consider giving back so the next guy could be helped. You know, I just humbly hat in my hand. You know, asking for money is not something I like to do, but I will do it again and again and again to serve the purpose of what the Lord is calling us to, which is to reach back and to help Him bring to fruition beyond Himself, continuing after His own sacrifices and His healing of everything and redemption of all of us. He asked us to then step into that spot for others so that He can work through us. And that's what I'm asking you to do, is to help us continue to do that. So if you want to donate, if you want to support, if you want to become a monthly partner in the pew, then go to www.donorbox.org/pew. You can do that, or you can look in the show notes. There'll be a link there for it. You can click it, go right to our donation page, sign up for a monthly donation, because it's going to help men. It's going to continue to save lives. And so I appreciate you for that. You can also go to justaguyonthepew.com and sign up at our website. There's a button at the top along the menu items that says donate. You can go there and do the same thing. You want to send a check, the address is on there too. You could send that to us as well. But I know I took some time here at the beginning, and I have lately, but guys, after a week like this, and ladies, it is more adamant to me than ever that we need help to grow so that we can reach the men out there, all these men that are silently suffering and struggling out there. So beyond that, I'll tell you, men of Columbus, I'm coming your way this week. I'll be there this Friday at St. Paul the Apostle for a leadership summit. It's going to be a day of faith and formation. So if you're in the Ohio area, I don't care where you are. If you're 2 hours away, 3 hours away, 5 minutes away, come and be with us. You can register. You can go to my website, to the event page. There's a link to register there. Or you can go to Catholic Men's Ministry of Columbus and register there. And then finally, here at the end of the month, you want to tune into the show. We're going to have an announcement of another big pilgrimage we're going to be doing. I'm not going to spill the beans yet. It'll come out in the next few weeks. But folks, if you're interested in traveling with us, keep your ears on for that. So, Victor, after all that, let's jump into the show.
All right.
So this week's episode is inspired by those calls, and honestly by the readings from Friday, from last Friday. So the first Friday of April and of Easter season. So if you don't recall those readings that day, the first one's from Acts. You know, we're traveling through the Acts of the Apostles here as we go through the Eastertide and in those first readings. And we heard the other day, the previous day, Thursday, that, you know, John and Peter were walking in to be questioned by the Sanhedrin, and they see or they were going to the temple, and there was a man there that was crippled, and he was asking for alms, and he said, you know, what I have, I have neither silver nor gold, but mm-hmm. what I do have is Jesus Christ, and I give you that, paraphrasing. And so the man was healed, and now they're being called before the Sanhedrin. And after Pentecost, all this started to happen. Peter and John and all the apostles were boldly going out preaching. Peter converted 3,000 people the first time he opened his mouth. They're being beaten and flogged and leaving, you know, considering it joy that they've been found worthy to suffer and all those things. So that's the first reading of Friday, is when they're going in and they're saying, we can't do anything but proclaim what we know to be true. And they're boldly saying this in front of people that could do the same thing they did to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then the second reading, the gospel reading on Friday, was when Jesus, when Peter and the disciples had gone back to Galilee, the apostles had gone back to Galilee, and they're sitting there, and Peter does what? He's sitting there in his shame and his guilt, and I want to preface this by saying this is after, you know, we just had Divine Mercy Sunday, so this was after Jesus showed up and said, peace be with you, which he basically was saying, look, all is forgiven, you know, it's what, don't worry about running away. Don't worry about denying. Don't worry about, he didn't say that, but that's what, peace be with you. Like, I'm not here because I'm angry mm-hmm. or something like that. I'm here because there's a mission I have for you, right? The next step is to come forward, and I forgive you for what you've done. So there was already this level of forgiveness, but, and he tells them to go to Galilee and wait for me. So they go back home to Capernaum, the place where Peter's home was. And then one day, Peter's just sitting there. It says they were together, were Peter, Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, James and John, and two others of his disciples, and they're sitting around, and all of a sudden Peter says, I'm going fishing, right? Mm-hmm. And as we, it just made me think, the two readings, you almost see these two versions of Peter, right? Because we know what happens. Like, Peter sort of goes like, I don't know what to do. I'm sitting here, and I know the Lord showed up, but in the back of his mind, he still had all those doubts. Right, I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. I betrayed him. There's no way he really meant that. You have these thoughts that all of us can have when we've made mistakes, like these gentlemen that called me this week. We just get in this place where the devil beats us down into thinking we're no more than the sum of our mistakes, and we'll never overcome them, and that there is no mercy for us, and that there is no love for us. And so we can be the same way. I mean, we're the first week or second week now after Holy Week, and we always have this choice as we come out. We went through Lent. And are we back to business as usual? You know, I gave up drinking for 40 days and now I'm pounding 20 beers a night again. Or I gave up, you know, this and I'm back to binge watching TV or whatever it is in your life. Are we back to those things, or did we allow Easter to transform us? Because if not, we can wind up being like what we see with Peter here when he goes, I'm just going to go fishing. I'm going to go back mm-hmm. to what this is, what I once knew and what my life was, because I'll never be any better than that. And that's why this episode's called I'm Going Fishing. And people probably were reading this going like, is he just going to talk about fishing? Because they know I love fishing. Mm-hmm. But I would love to do that sometime, but it's not today. You know, I want to illustrate here that, like, we see this two different versions of Peter. Now, obviously, in the gospel, what had happened to him to make him this bold person had not happened yet. Pentecost had not happened yet. But what we see here is just these two illustrations, one is in right relationship with the Lord and one is not, at least in his mind, right? And so this is the choice that we face each day, Victor, like each and every one of us. This is why I love the scripture, and I always tell people, are you reading and entering into this? Because this isn't just Peter's story, this is our story. It's the story of each and every one of us and our struggles to get past and to really believe in the divine mercy of our Lord that we just heard about this past mm-hmm. Sunday. And so it's a place that I know these guys that called me this week struggle. When we went to the group Wednesday night, a lot of them came, and a lot of people that have been coming still admitted the struggles that they have in their life. Just because you're going to something doesn't mean you're automatically healed. It's a process. But Victor, that's what I wanted to talk about today. I want to go through this scene and this reading and what happens and just the beauty of when Jesus shows up and all of that. But really want to illustrate and focus here on how Peter chose to return to his old way of life, which many of us can do if we don't believe and have the faith to believe that Jesus can really change our lives and can be merciful towards us and give us what we need to be different.
Well, going back in the scriptures, you can see many aspects where an individual had a powerful moment or encounter with God, and then all of a sudden that self-doubt says, me? You know who I am.
Yeah.
You know I'm incapable of this. I mean, we're going even back to Moses where, I mean, my God, he murdered somebody, you know, yeah. but God still used him. And then you have the direct parallel between, well, not parallel, but I guess you say the opposite ends where Moses and the Pharaoh. So Moses is the person that we all want to be, where we're open to listening to God.
Yeah.
We fully trust him. We fully are open to hearing what, even though we don't understand, we go, I understand. But we can also be the Pharaoh where we're closed off to God, saying, I'm better than you. I know things. You know, I'm not that person, but I'm, you know, I don't agree with that. I see it this way, God. I'm sorry, but this is what I want to do. This is how I see it being planned out. And when we go back and forth, because that is the human, I guess, condition of am I who God says I am, or am I just a fake? You know,
yeah.
because sometimes we have that inner dialogue that we're not capable, we're not worthy of many things. And I think for many people who are struggling with where they are in their life right now, they want to be Moses, but they find themselves, you know, closed off to God. And yet, because they have that closed off, they're also aware that I need to be back to where I can be back with God, like Moses.
Yeah.
And so Peter is, we can all relate to Peter, because even though God, Jesus showed up and said, peace be with you, peace, I love you, you know? I mean, Peter still has that thing, yeah, but God, I denied you three times.
Yeah, I
didn't stand up for you. I was supposed to be the person to protect you. I was your bodyguard. I was the person that you set on the rock, and I crumbled like I was just powdered cement.
Yeah.
Are you sure you still want me? And we all, as all men, we have the same dialogue in prayer every day when we feel we're confused, we mess up, we fall, we make our mistakes. But then we feel that silent voice of saying, peace, you know, I am with
peace
you.
Peace be with you. Yeah. And that's where we have to trust him. I mean, that's part of the divine mercy is Jesus, mm-hmm. I trust in you, right? And that's where we have to get. But like you're saying, I mean, Peter couldn't get past his own mistakes and shame. And that's what we do. We focus on ourselves and our lack and our inadequacies and our scarcities and those things, instead of focusing on the immense ability for the Lord to be merciful, his immense mercy and forgiveness. And that's the thing. I mean, you hear the saints talk about this. Mm-hmm. Mother Teresa, I mean, Saint Teresa of Calcutta, one of my favorite saints. I mean, she has this to say, and we use this in one of our talks when we go and do our missions. But she says, the devil may try to use the hurts of life and sometimes our own mistakes to make you feel it is impossible that Jesus really loves you, is really cleaving to you. This is a danger for all of us, and so sad, because it is completely the opposite of what Jesus is really wanting, waiting to tell you, that he loves you always, even when you don't feel mm-hmm. worthy. It's not about what we feel.
Right.
It's not about what we think. It's about the truth that the Lord is willing to give mercy and forgiveness always. The only time that we don't receive that is when we don't believe that it's possible,
mm-hmm.
when we listen to the wrong voice in our life, as we've talked about so many times. And I mean, St. Louis de Montfort talks about this too, and it really relates to the situation Peter was in. He says, very often, God allows his greatest servants, those who are far advanced in grace, to make the most humiliating mistakes. This humbles them in their own eyes and in the eyes of their fellow men. So again, what is he saying here? Even the greatest among us, who are very advanced in their faith and in grace, God allows to make the most humiliating mistakes sometimes, because we have to be brought back to the fact that it's not about us, that it's about him, and it's about what he can do through us. And whenever we focus on ourselves, this is when we get into those places of making mistakes. This is where we stumble. This is where we get away from humility and move towards pride. And, you know, with Peter, he was scared, and he made a mistake, right? He made a mistake, but he let that mistake define him. And this part is, the thing is, it's no different for us. It's a spiritual battle that we all face. We either trust in him, or we make agreements with the devil about our own inadequacies and mistakes, and we let them define us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is why it matters that we fight. You know, so every one of those men that I talked to this week, they were just beat down, and they were like, I don't know what to do. Several of them were like, I think it'd just be better if I wasn't here anymore, which is never the answer.
Right.
right? Which is never, ever the answer. People care about you, right? And we get in our mind, that's how clouded the devil can make it, that we don't matter.
Yeah.
And it's better that we just either go back to our own way of life or that we just cease to exist. And that's not the truth. And this is something why we have to preach the truth. It's the job of a Christian that when we meet these attacks and these arrows from the devil and these swords that pierce our heart, that we go back to the truth and preach the truth to ourselves. And is it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what the devil says. All that matters is in my heart. Even if I have to preach it to myself thousands of times, I'm loved. There's mercy that waits on me. I am forgivable. I am worth something because the Lord says I am. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't fight and we return to our own way of life, it doesn't just affect us. You know, it affects everybody else. If I had just said, you know what, Angela's never going to forgive me, and it's always going to be like this, and she's never going to find herself loving me again, my kids are never going to see me in the right way, everybody in the world's going to know, and nobody will ever see me any differently, I could have done that. But instead, what the Lord did was in that just horrible horribleness and that point in my life, he just kept saying, look at me, mm-hmm. look at me, focus on me. And because if I didn't, then I would have kept going down that spiral. Maybe I would have never done drugs and binge drank and all that stuff again like that and been stuck in porn. But I would have brought my family and everybody else with me because when you can't get past your own mistakes, you're miserable. Mm-hmm. And being around people and when you're miserable brings them down with you.
Yeah.
And so you see this with Peter. You know, it's so funny because he says, I'm going to go fishing. And then what's the next response in there? They said to him, we also will come with you. We'll go too. So now all of a sudden they're all getting in the boat to go with Peter, and they're kind of following him into this depression and this that they all had, right? But Peter, for the most part, everybody ran, but Peter actually denied Jesus right in front of him three mm-hmm. times and did what Christ told him he was going to do, which made it even worse. Like, he told me I was going to do this, and I did it anyway, saying I wouldn't. But it matters that we fight, because if not, we can drag other people down with us, right? And so Peter's in the boat here, and so are all the other apostles, and now they've returned to their way of life. And what does it say they do next? It says they fished through the dark of the night and they caught nothing. So it says they went out and got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. So here they are going back to their old way of life, and it's not fruitful.
Right.
Right? They're sitting there in despair and darkness and saying, what are we going to do now? And they had kind of moved away from the fact that Christ had just appeared and said, go here and wait for me. And and that's how we can be too, as we know that the Lord's supposed to come back, but when? And mm-hmm. our hope can wane as we see all the things in the world going on around us and society going down the toilet every day, right. You know, and all those things. And we can despair, and that's kind of what they did. And in that despair, sometimes we just go back to what we know. I'm just going to go back to the life I had, you know, and our faith starts to wane a little bit. So they go out of there, and Peter's choice influenced them because he had great influence, right? I mean, it made them want to come with him. And because he wasn't able to come out of his own shame, he sort of brought something else with him. And like I said, just fishing in the dark there, you know, and not catching anything. It's where we can be, mm-hmm. where we get in this place, and then what comes is this, it's never going to get any better than this. And this is when the devil starts to laugh in victory. This is where I want you, broken and pulled away. But the thing is, Victor, in that brokenness, if we're watching for it, and if we have enough faith, Jesus always shows up.
Well, Jesus shows up. He shows up in a way that is unexpected, but yet timing for us. Because usually when we're in that dire need of his attention, we're broken. We're unsure of ourselves. We are unclear of where we're supposed to be, who we're supposed to be, because possibly we feel we've messed up so much, or we destroyed so much that it's incapable of moving on. But yet redemption is an amazing, we said this before already, redemption is not a word, it's an action, a restorative process to where forgiveness comes, but yet also on top of that forgiveness, a whole new sensation of being adopted in his love, to where you feel as if, yes, like you said, no matter what the wreckage is in my life, I just focus on you, focus on me, as God says.
Right.
As Christ says, focus on me, focus on me, focus on me. And we should always focus on Him every day of our lives. But then we get to be where, like I said, again, we think we're Pharaoh again, that we're in control of our own lives. And then that's usually when we have the most errors that show up.
Yeah. And that's the hardest thing. I mean, so many people listening to this probably feel like I've been in this situation. Mm-hmm. I've been to conferences. I've been to retreats. I've been, you know, in these places where, like, maybe Curcio or something. And something happens in my life, and I feel like I'm going to change. But then I wind up going back to my way of life, mm-hmm. my old way of life. And it's something that we always struggle with. And that's why the call to Christianity is a call of constant conversion. It's always picking ourselves back up again.
Yeah.
Like when we fall, when we stray, is to remember and to look back. And that's the thing. You know, this whole scene is really a call back to the original call of Peter, right? To the original call of Peter, because that happened on the Sea of Galilee as well. And where was Peter then? Mm-hmm. He was in a place where nothing was going right. Couldn't catch fish, going broke, frustrated, fishing all night, worn out, tired, nothing good happening in his life, just like we are. And what happened then? The Lord showed up on the sea, on the shore, and says, lower down your nets for a catch, right? Yeah. And Peter's like, I've been fishing all night. There's nothing. There's no reason to do that. Don't waste my time. And he fights Jesus the way that we do, you know? And finally he gives in, and what does he do? He catches more fish than he ever caught.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing we're going to see happens here. But the dark and the night, it harkens back to this too, as they go out on their own and they go further away from Jesus and they're going back to their old way of life. It harkens back to John 15:5. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Right.
Apart from me, you can do nothing. And this is why the Lord is always saying, wait for me in your struggle, in your addictions, in your mistakes. Wait for me there. Wait for me because I'm coming. And we see this because the next line, after they call it nothing, it says, just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood at the beach. Right? And it's such a powerful image for our lives, Victor, because this is how I feel every time I'm going through a storm in my life, or every time I feel like the devil is just beating the tar out of me. Jesus always waits there on the edge of the darkness, right, to bring that light back into your situation and to destroy that darkness in your life, mm-hmm. if you allow him to. He's always standing on the edge of that darkness, waiting to bring us back to him. And that's what happens, right? They see him, and he's standing on the shore, and he says, children, have you caught anything to eat? And they say no, and they don't recognize him. And he says, cast the net over the side, and you will find something. So they cast it, and what happens? They catch massive amounts of fish, and this is what goes, this has happened before.
Yeah.
It's Jesus, right? And this is the recognition we have to have in our life and our mistakes and in the darknesses that we face, is going like, yes, maybe I've gotten myself into a bad spot. Maybe I've made some bad choices. Maybe I've made mistakes that seem that they're insurmountable. But in those things, I remember I've been here before,
mm-hmm.
right? And there was someone who was always able to bring me back, and that's Jesus. And maybe that's Jesus through you, Victor, in a conversation that you're having on this podcast today. Or maybe it was me through some of these phone calls that I've had this week with these men. Or maybe it's a person who just smiled at you down the road. But all of that is Jesus, right? Trying to enter back into our lives. And just as he stood on the beach and in the edge of the darkness for these men, as the light came, so did the recognition that they could be different. So did the recognition of the call back to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, even then, in the beginning, Peter didn't feel worthy when he was called in that first call. What happens? He catches fish and he realizes he basically was yelling at Jesus, and he gets out of the boat and he says, get away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Mm-hmm. And what does Jesus say? He doesn't go, well, I know, but there's nobody else available. You're the only person I have.
Right.
No, he just says, yeah, I know. Follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me, right? Like, your mistakes don't define you. Your sins don't make you who you are. Right, your identity is beloved, and we have to come back into that realization. Even in some of the worst mistakes we've made in our life, the Lord is sitting there calling us back to that. You know, Peter did that on that beach, and it changed everything. He becomes, after Pentecost, the Peter we read in the first reading.
Right.
The one that goes out and boldly proclaims, to the point of where all these people thought everybody was drunk because they're just speaking in tongues, mm-hmm. and they're proclaiming the Lord, and people were being converted, and they're walking around getting flogged, and eventually Peter would be crucified upside down, never again leaving the side of the Lord because he was changed.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of us, you may think, well, yeah, but I've changed and I've gone back, and I've changed and I've gone back, and I've changed and I've gone back. You know what? Peter did the same thing. He'd say, "You're the Son of God. You don't need to die. Get behind me, Satan." Mm-hmm. Again, this happened in his life too. But eventually, what happens in all of our life, if we keep returning back to the Lord, there's going to be a point where it sticks, where we realize maybe it's rock bottom, maybe it's on the way down, maybe it's bouncing back up from hitting rock bottom. But there's going to be a time where we recognize the Lord and we fully surrender. And that's what it's a call to, is that humility and that full surrender, that vulnerability. Because what happens? Jesus calls Peter when he says, John says, "It is the Lord." Because mm-hmm. John always recognizes Jesus, right? And so Peter doesn't even strip his clothes off. Now, we haven't read that yet, or we will this next week. And he dives in and he swims over the shore. I always imagine this is like a 10-foot swim, but Peter was just so, that's just Peter, right? Yeah. Like, "I'm not going to wait, I'm going." And so he gets over there, and then Jesus sits him down by a charcoal fire, which is the same fire, kind of fire, that he denied him by. Mm-hmm. And he asked him those three questions we all know. "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" And eventually Peter gets it. And when he does, he says, "Lord, you know I love you." And he says, "Follow me," right? "Feed my sheep." And then eventually he says, "Follow me." This is the call of all of our lives. You know, Jesus gave Peter the same number of opportunities to be forgiven that he had messed up. And Jesus will do that again and again. Remember in Scripture again too, Peter asked the Lord, "How many times must we forgive?" And Jesus, foreshadowing this moment, tells him seven. Is it seven or 77? Seven times 77. The Lord's mercy is infinite. Mm-hmm. We have to believe that. That's what the point of this past Divine Mercy Sunday is to recall us to that. But we see it in these readings. And because of that forgiveness and because of that mercy, Peter's able to become a different person that becomes the first pope, the leader of our faith and church, and the world was changed because of that. So the question I have for everybody on the podcast, Victor, is what could he do with you? Mm-hmm. Right? In the middle of your mistakes, in the middle of the hell that you may be going through right now, you may be sitting there going, "Yeah, John, I hear you, but you don't know what I've done. Yeah, John, I know, but what I've done is unforgivable." Stop playing God in your life.
Right.
You're not God. You don't get to tell God what to do. He knew you were going to do that stuff when you were born, and before he made you, and he still allowed you to be born. That should tell you something about where mistakes weigh in with God, because he knows they can be overcome through his son Jesus and through their mercy that's poured out through him. So, Victor, I mean, I don't know about you, but this is what I've come to know in my life. In the still things that I struggle with and the issues that I fall and I fail, the Lord is still in there meeting me in those places. Right. And the things that I've done, the things that were done to me, the things that have happened in my life don't have to define me. What needs to define me is my relationship with God, that he is who he says he is, I am who he says I am, and we can become these people that can then reach back like Peter did and bring others to him. So do you have any thoughts on that before we get to the how-tos?
Well, I mean, can I read this real quick?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so this is something called By the Way of the Desert. It's 365 Daily Readings. If you're interested, it's by Bernard Bagley. You know me, I'm like a desert father guy.
Yeah.
So this is a story, and it says, a hermit said, "The miller must blindfold a donkey working at the treadmill. If he does not, it will eat the grain. Merciful God has blindfolded us to prevent us from noticing anything good we do. Otherwise, we might be proud of ourselves and forfeit our reward. God permits us to see our own bad thoughts because then we will regret them and censure ourselves. These negative thoughts are the cloth of the blindfolds that keep any goodness out of sight. If you accuse yourself, you keep your reward," meaning that pride forfeits our reward, but that's saying that we know we've done things harmfully to others and to God, and we take that on, but we ask for forgiveness as well. But we don't, you know, we don't live in a way of saying, "Well, I'm forgiven. I can do whatever I want." You know? But also, we're more susceptible to know that we're sensitive to sin, and when we sin, it injures God. It injures our Savior, and so when we're that sensitive, we are more focused on what we're supposed to do in our lives.
Yeah.
So for all those who are listening, you know, when you feel that you're tempted or things are just going hard, you know, if you focus and live and see Christ in front of you, then you know that he is your Redeemer. And by not sinning, you're not harming your Savior. You know, and I think that's where Peter was after, you know, when he boldly professed during Pentecost, he realized that his full potential in his life, and like where you are now with people calling and helping, asking for help, you know, you've gone through it.
Yeah.
You've seen you felt the deepness of almost despair that a lot of these men are listening to right now are in despair. But you that's not your prison.
Yeah.
Despair can be opened up and you can be loosened from that. And that is all by asking Christ to come in your life and to be vulnerable to change and to seeking a life like being like Peter, like Moses, to be say, God, I love you. Just whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Yeah. I'm yours.
That's right. And the thing is, most of the time we have tried everything else.
Yeah.
We have tried white knuckling it. We have tried grinning and bearing it. We've tried, you know, self-medication, all those kind of things. And a lot of times the last thing that we're willing to try is Christ, mm-hmm. because there's a fear there that if I give over, then I've got to live that way the rest of my life. But I can tell you there's nothing to be afraid of. It's the most glorious and joy-filled life that you can ever live.
Right.
And at the end of the day, what we're basically saying is I'm tired of trying to do this. I can't do this by myself. There's a false notion of control that the world tells men we should have, and you don't have control. Mm-hmm. I say this to people all the time. If you think you're in control, stop breathing. You can't, mm-hmm. because the Lord wants you to breathe, so you will breathe. So stop trying to grab something and hold on to something, control something that's not yours to control, right? Let go of that, and that's the great release. That's why I felt in that jail cell when I said, at least now I don't have to lie anymore. At least now everybody will know who I am. It felt like I could breathe for the first time in my life, right? For the first time in a long time in my life, I could exhale, and the weight of the world fell off of me because I became vulnerable in that moment, and I surrendered that to the Lord. And this is what Pope Francis says about it. He says, acknowledging our errors and being willing to restore what has been removed, respect, sincerity, love, makes one worthy of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, that's all we're looking for, is that forgiveness. And then you have to live in a way that shows you believe that you're forgiven each and every day. So how do we do that, Victor? You know, I would say, number one, vulnerability. That's what this ministry was based on. That's what I saw Wednesday. Some of those men showed up into our group and into our room, and they started pouring themselves out. We watched a great series from Matthew Leonard. If you haven't checked out his Science of Sainthood, you should. It's amazing. You can go to scienceofsainthood.com, and you can get group packs and all that stuff there. It's amazing stuff. But we were watching a video on surrender, and he talked about in the middle of your mess, there's the call to surrender, to give it to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so many men that night shared their brokenness. Guys who've been coming for years too, I was sharing my brokenness. And there was a great healing in that humility, in that vulnerability. So we have to admit our mistakes to ourselves first. Mm-hmm. We have to stop lying, stop sugarcoating things in our lives. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. I don't have that big of a problem. This isn't going to cause me any pain or anybody else. It's lies.
Mm-hmm.
Be vulnerable with the things that are wrong in your life and come to grips with them. That's number one. Two, realize that admitting them doesn't mean they define you. By admitting something, you're not giving that thing power over you. You're actually doing the opposite. You're taking the power from it, right? Because in my areas of struggle with drugs and cocaine, that controlled me. When I finally admitted I had an issue with drugs and cocaine is when I took that power back. And say, I'm not going to allow this to control my life anymore. So it doesn't define you. It sets you free to admit the things that are wrong in your life. The devil will tell you the opposite. He's going to tell you it's going to put you in a prison cell and that everybody's going to hate you and you're going to lose all your friends and life's going to be horrible. Don't listen to that nonsense because he's trying to keep you imprisoned, as you said, in the jail that you're in. Three, throw yourself on the mercy of God. Get to confession. So you're vulnerable to yourself, then you're vulnerable with God. You admit you have an issue, then you say, you know what? I need God's help. You go in there, give the most vulnerable confession you've ever given in your life, tell the truth, and let His grace transform you, right? Let His grace transform you. Also, amend to change your life, right? Don't just go in there and go, oh, I feel better, and so now I'll just go back to my way of life. No, you have to keep moving forward as Peter did. Once he received that forgiveness, that reconciliation with God, with Christ, he went out and he lived differently, right? Pentecost happens and he goes out and lives boldly. 4, surrender to him. Accept the call to humility. After you've gone to confession and you've been vulnerable yourself and then with God, there still comes a surrender. You know, just because you've asked for forgiveness doesn't mean you've surrendered. That's the hardest part of being a Christian. I still struggle with it each and every day. I know you do. We're human. But you have to continue every day to get up and say, not your will, but mine, Lord. Not my will, but yours, Lord. I said that backwards. Not my will, but yours. The same as Christ in the garden. Lord, in the midst of my struggles, I was listening to a song today, and the verse says, bear your cross on the way to your crown and receive your eternal reward. So we have to bear our cross, the struggles we have in surrendering in those things, and every day get up and continue to choose God and our families over ourselves. You know, in humility, I can't do this by myself. I'm tired of trying to control my life. Remember, apart from you, John 15:5, I can do nothing, right? And remember the image of the apostles on the sea, right? When they were out there by themselves, they turned away, started going back to their old life. It says they caught nothing.
Yeah.
They were fruitless, and they were just out there in a boat in the depression of their lives until Jesus met them there on the dawn of that darkness, and they looked back to him, and then everything changed. So what did Peter do that was right? He surrounded himself with his brothers, right? They knew they needed to be together. They knew they were in the midst of a terrible part of life and hopelessness and worry and anxiety. And instead of doing the worst thing Peter could do and go off by himself and go fishing, he had the wherewithal to bring people with him. You know, yes, we influence people, but in that way, this was the plan of Christ all the time, all the way. He said, go and wait for me in Galilee. They probably thought he was going to walk through a wall again and say, here I am again. Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk through the door and just be here. But no, the plan of them to go back was so that he could redo this call, reenact this call in Peter's life, right there for all of them to see, nothing has changed. Right? Nothing has changed. The plan is still the same. And I still love you. I want to use you. I want to forgive you. And I want to call you to the purpose that I created you for in the first place. And nothing you can do will ever separate that from you and I unless you voluntarily do it. So men, you have to surround yourself with other people, just like we do in our group every week, just like Peter did in those apostles. And then we always have to engage in the battle. That's the last thing I would say. Mm-hmm. Standing with those brothers, standing with God, entering into these mistakes, entering into our situations, admitting our brokenness each and every day in our life, and moving towards that beach, towards Christ, towards forgiveness, towards mercy, and towards the light. You know, St. Augustine says this. He says, we count on God's mercy for our past mistakes, on God's love for our present needs, and on God's sovereignty for our future. And that's what our life has to become. You know, folks, I want to say one last thing before we go to prayer here. Right now, you may be going through something and you may think it's the worst thing ever and your heart hurts. I know it feels like somebody has a knife in your gut and they're just twisting and it's a slow and painful death. I know that feeling. I know it. When I talked to these men and I heard it in their voice, it took me right back to that jail cell and where I was. I know where you are. That's why this ministry is effective. But I can tell you this, from my experience and from just a testimony in my life, wherever you are right now is a sentence and a paragraph on a page. And that page is one page in the book of your life. It is not the whole story. It doesn't define you. It's a moment in the present that you're in and a moment that the Lord is using to get you to look back at him, to remember him, to look at that light and to walk towards it and to leave your pride, your mistakes, and everything else behind and to lose yourself in his forgiveness and his grace and his mercy so that you can take the pen back with him holding your hand along the way and begin to rewrite your story. To start a different chapter and to write a different book and a different story that will not only define and change your life, but the life of everybody around you. So that's the call of Christ. That's what we're talking about today. And Victor, this is the heart of our ministry. Mm-hmm. Folks, I say it all the time. If you're tired of where you've been, if you want something different in your life, if you want to be the man that you're called to be, if this is moving your heart in any way, reach out to us. Go to www.justaguyinthepew.com. Check the show notes. Google Just a Guy in the Pew. Come to our website. Stop sitting on the sidelines. The Lord can use you just like he used Peter and his brokenness and me and mine and everybody else he's ever used in the history of Christianity. He can use you. Step up today. Help save yourself and those around you by doing something different in your life. Start a group in your parish today. We're here to help you. We can revitalize one. Men, this is our mission. This is what we want to do. And to those of you who still want to support us and want to help us to do it, please go and give so we can continue to do it. Now, as we enter into this prayer, I want each and every one of you to think about what mistake or wherever you are in your life right now where things are not right. Bring it to mind, and as we pray together, surrender it to the Lord and begin this process we've been talking about this whole episode. So, Victor, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, so many of us have made mistakes in our lives, and now we let those mistakes define us. Satan uses those things to make us believe we are unforgivable and tries to turn us fully away from you. Help us to truly see how much you love us and how that love never changes. And Jesus, whenever we find ourselves trying to return to our old ways of life, please meet us there and bring us back into the light of your mercy and love. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thanks for listening to Just a Guy in the Pew. To find out more about John Edwards or have him come to speak to your parish, group, or conference, go to justaguyinthepew.com or send us an email at justaguyinthepew@gmail.com.